if you give your body enough rest and you get your macros in and all your micronutrients during the day, and those micronutrients after exercise that you really need, you basically get what you need. Of course, there are many supplements marketed by speeding up recovery or doing a lot of things, but by far most of it is complete nonsense. It's good marketing, but not really scientific evidence.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Evidence Strong Show. It's my pleasure to have you for a second time. If you could briefly introduce yourself to the three people who didn't listen to the first one.
Sure. So, my name is Cas Fuchs. I'm from Maastricht University, a university in the Netherlands. And here, me and my colleagues, we do a lot of research focused on muscle physiology. And my interest is mostly regarding protein and carbohydrate metabolism, also linking to things like recovery, which is something we're going to talk about today. So mostly the impact of how can we improve our recovery from exercise, but how can we make sure that we adapt from exercise, let's say optimally? So how can we improve the adaptation from exercises? That goes quite broad. I'm interested in endurance athletes. I'm interested in strength athletes. The strength part will be mostly what we're covering now, at least I assume. But that's quite broad. I am even also doing stuff in terms of like if we are injured, for example, what can we do then to make sure that we do not lose as much muscle mass and as much muscle strength, and actually quite a bit more. But I think the most relevant for now is the recovery aspect of resistance exercise. So that's definitely one of the topics I'm very interested in, and also the research.
Awesome. So you are very knowledgeable in all the topics you mentioned, plus the nutritional aspects of it. I think it's a very hard topic to discuss, especially in relation to research, because everyone has experience with nutrition. Everyone has an opinion about nutrition. But I think if we could cover the things that are the most important, that would be awesome. And could we start with some kind of definition what recovery is?
Sure, yeah. So my very simplistic form of recovery is just to go back to the level where you were before you started the exercise. So if you just think about a continuum where you do the exercise recovery adaptation kind of cycle, and what it basically comes down to, if you start doing exercise, of course you get a lot of stresses on the body. So you will use your cardiovascular system, you obviously use your muscle, your muscle itself or muscle cells by contracting, etc. So a lot of things in your body are changing, and they are going to a level at some point, at least depending on the type of exercise you do, but that you get to a certain point of fatigue. That's what at least most athletes and most people in the gym, for example, go for. And then what you want to do in the recovery process is go back from that point of fatigue where you stopped exercise to go back to the point where you were before you did the exercise. So make sure that your muscle cell and everything else, even all the way from cognitions, if you look at from a mental point of view or cognitive point of view, that it all comes back to baseline. So my main interest with my research is really focusing on the muscle to really see how that at least goes back to where you were before. And then afterwards, what typically athletes also try to achieve is that you even go a little bit further, that you take a little bit more time to also let your muscles, for example, adapt so they become stronger or you get more muscle mass and these kind of things. But just very simply put, the recovery process is just going back to where you were before exercise.
Would you call this a little bit up, a little bit more? Would you call that adaptation? So you said recovery is coming. So after the training, the state is a little bit lower and recovery would be coming here. So
So that's more like, I think if you look at it from if you go for professional athletes, they typically, depending on the sport, have to perform optimally multiple times, sometimes a week. So they, during their in-season period, they often are mostly focusing on recovery as fast as possible so that they're back to baseline when they need to do their next exercise. And then if they're off-season, they typically go for like adaptation purposes, so they try to get as much adaptation as possible, but they can't really focus on it in season because they have so many matches that they have to play, so they really have to focus on recovery. If you go for more like the gym goer, let's say the average gym goer, they typically go for like getting enough rest so they can actually let their body adapt well, so they become a little bit stronger each time, or they get a little bit more muscle mass. So that's more the adaptation phase, that you get your time to actually get enough adaptation in the muscle, and the recovery indeed is really going back to baseline. So I need to simply put, this is baseline. If you can see it well, you go down with a lot of basically everything in the body that's here. With recovery, you try to get back here. And with adaptation, you go a little bit over that. And then at that point, you start again because you can then lift a little bit more weight. And then you do the same thing by just try to go become better and better each time.
Awesome. So we sorted out the basics. Now, if you would have to rate what would be the most important for recovery for strength and resistance training athletes?
In general, I would say say it's probably going to be, for recovery, it's probably going to be a close one between nutrition and rest. Maybe just first focus on rest, because we will more dive into the nutrition aspect. But I think sleep is really, at least now we know, it's really important to let your body really rest and sleep to optimally recover. So that's definitely one of the key ones. And the other one is also nutrition. And in nutrition, it really depends a little bit on the type of sports you do, which one is then getting to be more important. But generally speaking, having sufficient protein in your diet is going to be also an important aspect to really recover your muscle, specifically if you focus on things like resistance exercise. And if you go more for endurance exercise, like strenuous prolonged bouts of endurance exercise, then you focus also a lot on your carbohydrate intake to replenish those. So those two, generally for recovery, protein and carbohydrate, again, it depends a little bit on what you do. Those two are really key to optimize recovery.
Would you have some kind of numbers to get us a bit of more idea what would be the target to aim?
Yeah, so if you go for generally resistance exercise, then typically what we say is that you roughly should aim for about 1.6 gram per kilogram body mass per day. So then you can calculate based on your own body mass what you should aim for. And that's also interesting because I just said protein is really important also for recovery, but it does not necessarily mean that you have to take in protein immediately after exercise. That's something we thought before. It's more important to focus on that you get enough protein during the day. And to give you more maybe a practical example, before you go into the gym, if you take a big protein-rich meal right before, or at least an hour before, then the building blocks that you get from the protein, so the amino acids, that will already be available, or that will still be available if you would do the exercise session. So if you then do, for example, 1 hour of lifting and then you stop, then you still have all this, these building blocks that you get out of this protein that you ate before, you will still have around in your body that can already immediately assist the recovery as well as the muscle adaptation process. So what I mean with that is it's not then absolutely key to also have that protein shake, for example, after exercise, because you already have these the building blocks from the protein in your body. So I think it's really important to focus on getting enough protein in during the day, especially if you do resistance exercise, but it also doesn't have to be like crazy amounts. So at least 1.6 gram per kilogram body mass per day, for me, it's not a crazy amount. Maybe for some people it is, but for me, it's like actually quite easily achievable. So that's the key point. Of course, if you would do exercise in the morning and you, for whatever reason, you didn't have any breakfast and you are able to train well in a fasting state, me, but maybe some people do, then it could help to, of course, to get some protein in after exercise. And if you then go more from like a meal point of view in terms of quantity, then typically we say it's about 0.3 grams per kilogram body mass per that meal. So then you again look at your own body mass, multiply that by 0.3, and the amount of grams that you get out of it, then that's kind of recommended to get in terms of as an optimal or maybe a maximal dose of protein following exercise to get your protein in.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is anabolic window is not a thing unless you do exercise fasted.
Yeah, and even then, yeah, it's also interesting, what's the definition of the anabolic window? They typically always said like, okay, you need to get it in within 30 minutes after exercise, otherwise you lose the window and then everything was for nothing. That's not true, because we know that if you go to the gym and you train your muscle good, then your sensitivity of your muscle to use amino acids, right? So the building blocks of protein to help in stimulating muscle growth, that can take one, maybe even up to 2 days. So up to 2 days later, 1 to 2 days later, your muscle is still more sensitive to amino acids than it would be if you didn't do any training. So that means that there is not really an anabolic window, because you're still a bit more anabolic also hours later. So it's not just that 30 minutes. Of course, what you do have is immediately after exercise, you see a massive increase in blood flow. And that's also why people, you know, many people in the gym, they try with the pump. So you look a bit bigger because of this increase in blood flow. And also they think like you have then the blood flow, so then you have the most benefit of these nutrients. But I mean, blood flow is of course always like there, and it's always providing the amino acids to the muscle cells, and your muscle cells are still, as I said, just very sensitive also hours later. So it's not really like something to really be very concerned about the anabolic window, because you will just benefit as well the meals that you have later after you did the resistance exercise, hours later and even a day later. So I would more focus on total protein intake and not so much on that acute window that people still sometimes talk about.
Awesome, that's a clear advice, and I think easier to implement that rushing 30 minutes, you know, stressing about it. What would you be able to tell a little bit more to guide us a little bit more in terms of carbohydrates, specifically for resistance training?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So carbohydrates, that's a major energy store in the body, together with fats. Protein, not so much. So protein is more indeed about rebuilding your own proteins in your body that, for example, are important to have muscle contraction. Carbohydrates, on the other hand, that are really important to give quick energy, and the energy that your muscle proteins then can use to actually contract. So what you get is, if you go to the gym, you will use carbohydrates, either from the ones that you ingest from your diet or the ones that are stored in your body, because you can store these carbohydrates in terms of glycogen. It's mostly occurring in the muscle as well as in the liver in terms of the quantitative amounts. You can basically store them in all cells, or like a lot of different cells, but liver and muscle are most important for exercise. And so what you get is you can use those during exercise, also in the gym, if you go to the gym for resistance exercise. But it's really important to keep in mind, how long is your exercise session and how intense is your exercise session? In a gym, it really depends on how hard you train. So how intense, how long. So for sure, you will use some of this glycogen. But the question is it enough? And it's very important to replenish it again. And in other words, do you not already replenish it with your general diet, if that makes sense? So typically speaking, people go to the gym and they train, for example, they have a leg day, so they do some heavy squats. Then they typically take one, maybe two, sometimes even more rest days afterwards, where they also have like quite some meal intake, by which you generally already restore these carbohydrate stores back to your basal level, if you go back to the recovery aspect we just talked about. So just a long story short, the question is, how relevant is carbohydrate intake for the people going to the gym with in terms of resistance training? That depends really a little bit about, again, on how intense you train and how long. So let's assume that one of those few ones that really train intense and very long, and they also want to train like heavy again later on for whatever reason, then yes, it can be important to also focus on some carbohydrate intake following exercise to really replenish those stores of glycogen.
How long does it take for ingestion for the carbohydrates, or let's say glucose, from ingestion to getting to the muscle?
From ingestion to the muscle can be relatively fast. So it also depends on the type of carbohydrates you ingest. But if you, let's say you just ingest dextrose or just a maltodextrin, basically just some glucose molecules attached to each other, or free glucose even, free glucose can be absorbed directly because you don't have to digest it. And if you are following exercise, you can see already basically, within measurably, we can already find within 2 hours, like increases in muscle glycogen following exercise. And this goes, of course, much faster, but it's more, of course, what you can measure with the techniques that we use. And within 2 hours, you already definitely see it. But it's, glucose is really, really fast absorbed in the bloodstream. So within half an hour, you already see these increases, and even faster than that. So that goes fast.
I'm asking because many of people who follow me are interested specifically in Olympic weightlifting. And Olympic weightlifting has two lifts, snatch and clean and jerk, and they are separated but by some time. How much time is between the lift depends on the competition setup, and this time in between, do you think it, or how important it is, and what to focus on in terms of nutritional strategies? Would carbohydrates be the way to go?
Carbohydrates can assist, but for those, like, let's say, short bursts of energy, with let's say if you do one lift, you will first focus on your free ATP. That's actually the main energy, let's say, chemical in your body. So ATP is really what you use, and you probably have heard of ATP, and I hope the listeners too, but ATP is really what your muscle cells use to be able to contract. But that's very short. That's I'm talking about seconds, and then that kind of small storage is gone. Then you go to creatine phosphate, that can quite fast replenish your ATP stores. That's just simply put by giving like a phosphate group attached to the creatine towards an ADP to really replenish ATP again. That's also like the second phase, essentially, if you can put it in phases, and now you get some carbohydrates. So I do think carbohydrates can be important, but if you have that short amount of time, it's not necessarily just to focus on glycogen restorage, but it's just to have carbohydrates available. So if you then ingest some fast carbohydrates in between, that would have some benefits already directly by putting them in the body, and not so much for like, okay, what about first store them in the body and then use them again? No, because you just have it available to be directly. So I think in those short time frames, and again, it depends always a little bit on like, how many sets you do, how intense, but those are the three things you got to focus on. And I think that it can also be very beneficial to have actually creatine in the body as a supplement to use for your weightlifting. And that's also, of course, a supplement that's apart from carbohydrates, but that you can supplement with to give this extra availability of creatine in the muscle cell to quickly replenish this ATP that you have.
How long will it take from ingestion to getting to the muscle for creatine?
So with creatine, what I would do is I would load it before, so to make sure that's already there, because if you would do it right before the exercise, I don't really think you will benefit from that much, if at all. What I would do, if you know you have these lifts coming up, or maybe even already in general, just make sure that you load your muscle cell with creatine. You can do that in multiple ways. Two common ones are either have about, if you focus on from a muscle perspective, let's say 5 grams of creatine for about a month, and then you will have like this most probably optimal amounts of creatine in the muscle, or maximal amount. You can also go quicker. You can say like, hey, I'm going to take 5 to 7 days of a higher dose of creatine, about 20 grams per day, that you can spread, for example, for and 5 grams doses 4 times a day in the first week. And then you go continue with this 5 gram daily dosage to maintain these stores in the muscle cell. So but that I would do before to get like the benefits, and not so much in between, because there I don't really see many.
All right. So follow-up question on that. How much it will influence the water retention in the body? Because weightlifting is a weight contested sport. So athletes have to at least be aware what weight they are when they go to the competition, because they have to declare which class they are competing at. And some athletes will also be controlling their body weight to fit into the weight class. Some of the controlling methods will be related to controlling the hydration levels of the body.
That's a good point. So definitely with creatine, you do get some water retention in the cells. So that's absolutely something you have to take into account for yourself. I mean, it has benefits in terms of getting a bit more power, let's say energy in your muscle cell, but the downside can be, again, depends on the sport, but in this sport, it can be a disadvantage, is the additional weight that you typically see. Yeah.
And how much additional weight is it?
So I don't know exactly by heart. It also probably depends a bit on the individual, but you can definitely get, it can be some serious added weight, maybe a kilo, maybe two. I don't have the numbers really by heart, but it's measurable. Let's say it's not like negligible for people, but it could be something that you could check yourself. So what is your weight category? What if I measure myself now, try to get, of course, very standardized conditions, load yourself for a week with creatine and see where you're at then when you measure in the same conditions, just like after you woke up, for example, in a fasted state, try to get like as much the same hydration status, etc. So you could try it out for yourself, because it's very difficult to put one specific weight on, because for everyone it could very differ a lot. Also the amount of muscle mass, how much do you have, males, females, there could be many differences there. But if you use a supplement, I would, and this is actually a serious with everything that you do in training, test it yourself, see what is the, in this case, then the additional weight that you get, and then make a wise decision. Okay, is it then beneficial for me, or can I still make my weight, or should I try to get like a different approach? Yeah, that's quite individualistic. That's, I think, why it's good to have people and coaches around to assist in these aspects.
Awesome. So protein, carbohydrates, creatine, what else is important for muscle recovery?
Yeah, so a lot of can be beneficial. It's more the question of what else do you shoot to in get just around exercise. I think those are the key points in terms of nutrition for recovery. And then, of course, yeah, you can go into like also more specific. So you have protein is important, but then people always ask what type of protein. Well, the amount we kind of already discussed now, you know, with protein are the differences in the types of protein that you ingest. With the carbohydrates, the same are difference in types of carbohydrates. People just generally ingest micronutrients. Of course, they're important to have in your body because they're vital for a lot of cellular processes, but they're not necessarily key to have right directly after exercise. At least assuming that you have sufficient in your diet and you will replenish them anyways. It's not like a key thing directly you have to do after. And water, by the way, is also like an important aspect, of course, that you have to think about. And this is mostly important when you are hypohydrated or when you are dehydrating yourself under hot conditions, for example, because of course the water is also something that actually could be an important aspect that, right after exercises to restore your water content body. Also, so actually quite a bit.
Yes. Any comment on fruit and vegetable in terms of muscle recovery specifically, or adaptations to resistance training, or we can skip them?
So they're important. I think what's good about them is that they, of course, provide a lot of micronutrients. Some of them can actually provide some extra water as well. That can also be beneficial. And they can also provide some carbs. Think about a banana, for example, or maybe watermelon with having additional water in the body. So they can have a place in a, let's say, post-exercise smoothie or something. something in terms of like also giving these aspects, but from like a more like indeed protein or carbohydrate perspective, you don't necessarily have to focus on fruit and vegetables. So I typically say make sure that you get enough and during the day and also like somewhere after you did your exercise, of course, but it's not like very essential most of the times to have it directly. So just make sure you have enough fruit and vegetables in your body to make sure that your body basically is functioning optimally. That's key there.
Awesome. Any other supplements we should be considering?
For recovery, not really. I think if you give your body enough rest and you get your macros in and all your micronutrients during the day and those macronutrients after exercise that you really need, you basically get what you need. Of course, there are many supplements marketed by speeding up recovery or doing a lot of things, but by far most of it is complete nonsense. It's good marketing, but not really scientific evidence. So if you really ask me what supplements should we use apart from what we discussed for muscle recovery, I do not think there's anything else that's really important that we should discuss here. And there are supplements that could be beneficial. So you can think of, at least if we go for like resistance training individuals, caffeine can be an interesting one for pre-workouts to make sure that your workout itself is going to be a bit better. But I would not take that post-recovery because there's not really clear evidence that it has any benefits there for those athletes. And in fact, it could impair your subsequent sleep, specifically if you take it a bit later during the day. So, and that's really key for good recovery. So I would not focus on caffeine as a post-exercise recovery supplement. You could do it before exercise. And in my point of view, just caffeine with coffee can be great. You don't have to take those pre-workout supplements that are often like mixed with a lot of different products in it and also marketed as being like the ultimate way of having a great workout. I think just caffeine itself, which you can get from a strongly brewed cup of coffee, for example, is already sufficient.
Awesome.
If we go back to the initial topic, recovery, you think about rest and nutrition, because of course nutrition, you have to give your body again what it used in terms of energy. You get the energy back, and also you want to repair the proteins that you kind of damaged during your exercise, and you can do that by ingesting your protein. And of course rest, you have to give your body the sufficient rest to actually be able to recover, because you need rest to let your body recover and later on even adapt to from the exercise stress.
Awesome. Did your team or your colleagues in the lab, did you do any quirky things? I don't know, beetroot juice or tart cherry juice, some things that maybe are not the first things that come to mind, but still you found some success.
So my colleagues did have colleagues that were focused on beetroot juice indeed in our lab. And also, of course, it's a topic that still at the moment is quite popular in the sports science field. And with beetroot juice, yeah, there could be, again, some benefits. But if I focus specifically on resistance training athletes, I did not really see that many benefits of beetroot juice. And if one would get a benefit, it's really, really minor. I think this is personally because I'm not really, really directly into the beetroot juice field myself. But if there would be a benefit, yeah, I think it's probably negligible compared to sleep and getting your macronutrients in properly. Yeah. So the nitrate from beetroot juice, I also would say there's not the last thing hasn't been said about it, because there is quite some cool stuff out there found also for endurance athletes. Again, go back to the resistance training person. I personally would not use beetroot juice.
Awesome. Okay, these are all the questions I wanted to ask you. So thank you very, very much for answering. Sleep recovery, resting, nutrition the second, and the contraction, there's nothing better for the muscle than contracting it. So
yeah, true. And having said that, sleep and nutrition, of course you need both, because you can't say, it's always hard to rank them because yeah, they're both really important. But without proper sleep, you won't recover well. And without proper nutrition, you also will recover well. So those two for me are really, really both on the top list. And all the other things are either not even on the list, or they're like ad hoc and maybe under specific circumstances.
So would you say 40% sleep, 40% nutrition, and then 20, 10? How would you, if you would have to quantify?
Oh, that's a good question. So I would just see those three as like an important triangle, because of course you need to do the exercise to get the stimulus. That's key. Otherwise, you will never get to where you want to be. You need to have your optimal recovery from sleep or rest to get back to where you were. And also not only from a muscle perspective, but also from a cognitive perspective, that you really feel like energized and you can actually also have, let's say, the mental energy to do your things and the cognitive functions to do your things. That's key. And also the nutrition is key, because if we don't eat, then yeah, we will not get the nutrients in to optimize our adaptation in the long term. So you have to do all those three. And if I really had to put like a number on it, I really can't. I would say those. And the good thing is we can do those quite easy, because we have food available, we have equipment around us, at least we have to do the activities we do, and otherwise we can even go outside to do our trainings. And yeah, we can sleep. That's kind of something our body at some point will tell us to do anyways, because we have to. Yeah, and then try, of course, to reduce your stress. But yeah, that's a whole different topic with sleep. Try to optimize sleep by reducing stress levels, etc. But those three are key to get where you want to get, where you want to get: nutrition, exercise, sleep.
So how about 30, 30, 30, and then 10% for the rest?
You want to get numbers out of me, right? Then I would probably say maybe make it 32, 32, 32, and then the rest.
All right. If someone has ambition to be a good athlete or good coach, they have to be aware that it has to come from somewhere. So you need to put time and unfortunately some thinking into how you will recover and prepare for the next day, the next training session, the next competition, and so on. So recovery is part of it. We cannot escape it. And you, I think, showed beautifully today how important it is. It is not 1% change. It is in, you know, tens, not in single digits. So it is important. If you add nutrition and sleep together, it's 60%. 64% of what you will get, and the rest is training and some small things, probably unbelievable, yep. And so on. So
indeed, and as I said, it's the circle. It's like after exercise, the recovery, but also the day after, if you want to exercise again. If you didn't sleep well, I think we all know that you will not have a good exercise session, at least not as good as you would have if you didn't sleep well, because you're just not as focused. So it keeps this like circle. And the same with nutrition. If you don't optimize your nutrition, then you also will not recover as well, but you also will not be able to have as good as an exercise session. So you're very right. I'm not an elite athlete, so for me it's also less important, because my exercise sessions are not as crazy as for those people. But that it's just a circle. So they all like are really important together to optimize everything, recovery, but also the exercise session itself, etc. So it's kind of, yeah, that's how I at least see it.
Thank you. That's eye-opening, to say the least. But yeah, that was important to listen to. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so, so much for today, Cas. We learned a lot, and I hope that you, me, and everyone else can implement something from this interview into their life, make it better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.